bitch, please.
Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Bitch, please, episode 15.
Episode 15, but we're starting something a little new today. We're kind of starting from scratch a little bit.
So basically, when Hannah had approached me about this idea to start a podcast, initially, because I'm an incredibly honest person, she was like, Jillian, you should start giving advice to people. And I was like...
And I've always wanted to like have an advice column or like give advice in some way because I'm really good at helping other people fix their shit, even though like I have my own shit, of course. But I love the idea of giving really honest advice. And that's kind of where the initial inspiration for the podcast came from, because I think a lot of times when you're asking someone for advice, you're maybe A, too embarrassed to even ask your friends this kind of thing. Or like everyone comes into things with their own like things going on. So I don't think you ever can get very unfiltered, honest advice. Like I think it's always coming with like, if I ask you a question about my relationship, your answer is going to kind of come from the things that's going on in your relationship. And I think especially when you both know each other, it's hard to get like very honest advice.
That, and it's just like a lot of people will soften the blow because they're your friend and they love you, but we will, you know, be honest, as honest as we can.
Yeah, people soften the blow. And I sometimes soften the blow to people I know unless they really ask for it. But that's what's so great about this is like there's an anonymous factor to it. So you can really get some honesty.
You could literally ask us anything.
Jillian's not great at softening the blow, so she's extra good at this.
I've been working on it. I think I'm way better.
See, I'm working on not softening the blow. I'm like sick of, this is a thing I've been dealing with lately actually, is like, I'm sick of like pretending to be like happy and fine all the time. Like I'm taken off the kind of fakeness.
I mean, I'm confused because I don't think you pretend to be happy all the time. I mean, maybe not to me. I think that's like the opposite of what you do.
Right. So I realized like in my head, I was like, I'm sick of being like fake happy all the time. And then a friend was like, you're not happy all the time.
At all. I don't know what you're talking about.
In my head, I'm like fake bubbly. And maybe like not to you. Right. But I feel like I am to some people, especially when I'm on like a date or like out with people I don't know. And I'm honestly just sick of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of thing where when you see someone in the hallway and they're like, how are you? And you're supposed to just say good. And you're not going to be like, everything sucks. But I guess you could say like, things are okay. And leave it on that note.
That's actually a thing I do. It's like, I never say good. I'm always like, fine.
Yeah.
Like if things are good, like I don't believe anyone should be better than good ever. Like if you say you're great, you better be having like the peak of your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I usually say I'm going through a good phase or like this is a good wave for me, but I know it's going to be bad in like 2 months. So yeah.
Right.
Like I'm going through a good phase. Like that's my line. To my friends. Right. I wouldn't say that to
a
coworker.
People are allowed to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely not now because update to all, I fractured my foot, so I've been not really able to walk too often. I'm on crutches and a boot. So that definitely takes a toll on your mental health and just...
Although you fractured your foot while on a gorgeous vacation.
It's kind of white girl problems, but it really does suck because... I fell, I was walking on these steps and I skipped a step and I landed on my foot really strangely and I had never sprained or broken anything before. So I was like, oh, this is what a sprained foot feels like. Fast forward like 2 weeks later, I'm upstate. My dad's like, you should get an x-ray. Finds out it's fractured. So that's really the status of my life. What about you, Hannah?
So I feel like I've had a lot of things happen since we last recorded this podcast, but in terms of my mental state, I've for a minute thought I was bipolar and went on mood stabilizers, but now I'm off all my medication. But when I went off all my medication, I had also been watching the Aziz Ansari stand-up special, and he says something in it really briefly about birth control making his girlfriend crazy. And I was like, huh, I've been on birth control for 10 years straight. And it never occurred to me to look at the symptoms. So I looked up the symptoms for birth control and it's like, oh, okay, depression, anxiety, fatigue, like moodiness, like this is my entire personality. So I was like, let me go off birth control and just like see what happens. And so I went off everything, all my antidepressants, birth control, everything. And I felt really fine. And then like a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, I was like, you know what? Like I shouldn't not be on birth control. So I went back on it and I was in the worst fucking mood ever. I wanted to punch everyone. And it was the exact same feeling I had the last time I tried to go off my antidepressants. And I realized all this time I've been treating the symptoms of my birth control with antidepressants. Like I needed antidepressants to deal with the symptoms of the birth control. And I had no idea how awful birth control was. I've been on it for 10 years. And so now I'm like, who am I without birth control? What is my personality like? Maybe I'm just like this really happy-go-lucky person and no one knew.
Are you? How have you been?
I feel great. Like, I still have depression, don't get me wrong, but like the last time I tried to go off my antidepressants, not this time, that about a year ago, I was so angry all the time. I was so angry at everyone. I was getting in fights with my family, which I don't usually do. And turns out that was all birth control. So, I mean, I still have my shit going on, but I don't have that anger. I don't have that, like, kind of...
jumping out of your skin
unhappiness.
Feeling.
Unhappiness. Yeah. 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 I feel like it... Yeah. So that's my PSA of the week is... birth control is awful.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been on it, but I've always been scared it was going to fuck with my hormones, which it does. It's like my sister was on it, and she had to go off of it pretty swiftly because it made her insane. But it's different for everybody.
Absolutely. I just had no idea, and I have been on it for a good 10 years straight.
Yeah, and now you're like normal.
It's the new era of Hannah.
Hannah like 5.0.
I know. I think I'm on like 7.0 by now.
All right, well, so we're going to kick off our advice section. Hannah, why don't you go ahead and read the first one? Let's preface this by we had put out a call on our Instagram stories and we received some DMs. And we'd even received some DMs before we even said we were going to do an advice portion on our show. So,
yeah, so if any of you have any things they want answered in a very honest way, let us know. But this is our first question. Hey, Hannah and Jillian, I feel like you guys might understand this scenario, and I really need guidance. I'm a little too judgmental, which is partly the reason that I'm still single at 31. I'm on all the dating apps and recently met a guy named Brandon, spelled B-R-A-N-D-Y-N, and we've been on a few dates. We come from really different backgrounds, but he's sweet, cute, and self-made. I just can't imagine what kind of mother would spell her son's name like that. If we got married, it would say Jenna and Brandon's wedding. Again, spelled B-R-A-N-D-Y-N. But again, 31, single. Brandon with a Y. Help.
My mouth.
Okay, Jillian. My
mouth
what
is
do you
like
think?
Half open right now because, I mean, this sounds like he's from like the Bible Belt. I mean, do you think his mother wanted him to just stand out and be incredibly unique? Because with the Y, let me think on this. I mean, 31. See, you still have like a lot of years ahead of you is what I'll say from the get-go. I think everyone gets really nervous in their late 20s and early 30s. But listen, his name is Brandon with a Y. That's really unfortunate. But if he's...
he didn't name himself
right,
that.
Like, if he's awesome and he's grown from where he's come from and you know, you're just going to have to accept the fact that maybe you and your mother-in-law aren't going to get along that well. But that's common.
Okay, so I encounter this problem a lot on dating apps. But Brandon with a Y is not even that bad. Like, I see people named things that are just so bad that I'm just like... there's no way I can say this name on the daily. Like, I'm trying to think of an example, but...
but at least you could say Brandon. Like, you don't always have to spell it. You know, like, on your wedding invitation, yes, everyone will see it. But on the day-to-day, Brandon is an incredibly normal name.
Right, like, it could be a lot worse. I guess I think if you've already been out on a few dates and you like the person, then the name shouldn't matter anymore. But for me, it's like I have that problem where I don't even swipe right because their name is so weird. So
that's good advice.
That also, it's like I do think as you get a little older, you have to reprioritize and decide what judgments are worth having still. Like, I have a friend who's in her mid-30s at this point, 34, I think, and she's still holding on to a lot of those judgments and kind of particularness that she had in her 20s, and all of her friends are married with kids now, and she's still just looking for that same kind of person she was always looking for. And a lot of her friends are like, at a certain point, you have to expand the net of kind of what you want. And so, I mean, listen, if he loves you, maybe he'll change the spelling of his name permanently.
Right. It's literally one letter.
It's one letter.
Right.
It could be worse. But okay, so I feel I have a friend who has like a name that's not American. Like, it's not an American name. And he thinks he doesn't get a lot of matches on dating apps because of his first name. And one time he was talking to me about maybe putting his middle name, which I think is like Tom or something like very normal, as his first name. And I felt so bad. And I was like, oh, you shouldn't have to do that. Like, they should like you for your name. Meanwhile, I'm such a fucking hypocrite because I would have swiped left on that name. So I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with Hannah in the sense that if you guys have already been on a bunch of dates and you do like him, go forward. He can really swap the Y out for an O as you guys get to that point. Wedding invitations are far away, so don't worry about it.
Okay, Jillian, question number two.
Question number two. Hi, ladies. I'm really grateful for finding your podcast. I listened to all of your uploads on my drive home from work and found you both to be very relatable. I decided to write in because I'm curious how you would both handle this situation. I'm also 28 and living in Toronto. I've been dating my boyfriend for 8 months, and we've openly discussed getting engaged in the summer and moving in together. This was from a little while ago. The other catch, he bought his condo with his mom before we met, and I'm worried things will get complicated once I move in. I've brought up to my guy that when the time's right, possibly we should get our own place together, but it just seems so complicated, and I'm not sure how to breach the conversation again. Help.
She also said, I don't want to rock the boat with his mom. Okay, so the thing that Jillian and I weren't sure about is, does she mean that he bought it with his mom in terms of, like, his trust fund money, or is the mother living with them?
Right, and how many floors are there if they are all living together?
I think it's two separate answers, right? If the mother is living with them, you gotta get your own place.
Yeah.
You gotta, yeah.
It's just, especially since you've never lived together, it's not like you're married and the mother is going through a hard time and she has to move in for a few months. It's like the beginning stages. So it probably doesn't bode well.
If the mother's living there, once you get engaged, if not tomorrow, you have to get your own place. Like, the mother cannot be living with the two of you. Unless she's like very sick or something and there's an actual reason and you want to be that, you're ready, you're okay with that for your relationship. That's a different situation. But if everyone's in good health, you gotta get your own space.
But if they just own it together, I don't see the problem in moving in there. I mean, maybe you'll pay utilities, or if you feel like you need to like earn your part, I totally get that. But in that case.
Yeah, like, I guess it, to me, it's the equivalent situation of like a guy living with a different girlfriend. And then they break up and then he wants you to move in and you feel like it's not really your space. Mm-hmm. And I get that. Like, maybe once you get married, you talk about getting your own place or like renovating in some way that makes it feel a little bit more like your own. Because you definitely don't want to feel like you're just like living in his house. I wouldn't like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. But yeah, I am really curious. Maybe she'll follow up with us, the girl who wrote in this question, so we could just further define this on the next episode.
Yeah, they're probably engaged by now.
Yeah, I'm just curious, like, if she moved in with the mother or if it's just under the mother's name that they own this condo.
Right. The first time I read it, I thought he just, like, purchased it with the mother. But now that I read it, it sounds like the mother's living there.
I mean, she said she's worried things will get complicated when she moves in. Why would it be complicated if she just moved in and they owned it? I mean,
and I guess the bigger question is, what kind of adult man like lives with his mother, like buys a place with his mother?
Well, I actually dated a guy when I lived in LA. Very.
Oh my God. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
It was very briefly. His name was Rodrigo. That was also an issue for me. So I understand, Brandon girl. I get it. But anyhow, he went in with his mom on like a second home Airbnb investment. They didn't live there, but they were just like, I guess, splitting the funds. He also didn't really have a dad, so like he was really close with his mom. So I thought that was totally normal.
That's different. I'm talking about like buying a new house together and moving in with your mother at like 30.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's...
That's a little odd.
That is definitely, definitely strange. But I feel like there's also, considering the circumstances, like if there is no dad in the picture, that complicates things because I feel like mothers like get really attached to their sons.
Yeah. Yes. I was talking to someone about that. Is like, that's the hardest part about marriage is the mother of the man with the daughter-in-law, because mothers and sons are so weird. It's
very weird. I mean, honestly, this sounds, whatever, I'm just going to be unfiltered. Like, the fact that some women breastfeed till the boy is, like, 3 years old, like, that can't be good for his, like, social psychodevelopment. I mean, I don't know how many women do that, but I've seen it.
Yeah, I just, as I have friends who have babies and learn more about it, like, I don't want to breastfeed at all, let alone for 3 whole years. It just doesn't sound fun.
I honestly still feel awkward watching my sisters do it. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? Am I programmed to think of breastfeeding in a gross way because of the way like America views sex and how it's kind of not this pure act? But we're also...
No, I feel the same way. I think it's just until you get to that age, it's just like, why is that little boy sucking on your boob?
Legit. I was like laying in bed with my sister and I was just like, I am just gonna not say anything here and just be like, wow, he's getting fed.
Because the weird thing about babies is like they get big physically before, like just children in general get big before, while they still like can't talk. Like, I don't know that much about kids, and I feel like they're like 1 year old, they look like, or I don't know how old they are, but they're big, they look like they should be like full functioning adults, but meanwhile they can barely talk and barely walk, and so you have this like full-grown little child just like sucking on your nipple.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about fully, you know, adjusted to life yet because I can't speak, but I hear what you're saying. They look too big to be like sucking your boob.
Right. Like, I guess I'm still learning, like, okay, they get large in size, but they still are small brains.
Yeah, but it's also what...
And, like, not developed.
I think both my sisters also felt weird about it because we're not that different, but they said when they look at their baby and see how happy he is, it's like they can't stop. So we'll see when we cross that road, but...
And I will say, I breastfed for a very long time. Like, I loved breastfeeding.
What?
So who am I to criticize these little children when, like, I apparently loved it when I was
I was a formula baby.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, but that doesn't affect it because, like, I wasn't, and I still think it looks weird.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Sorry we deviated, but let's...
I think it's part of the fun.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Totally next part question. Of fun. Okay. All right.
Hi, guys. I need your advice on something because I have nobody else to ask. I live with my boyfriend in upstate New York. I have a few close friends from high school and college, but they are now scattered across various states. I have one or two friends near where I live, but lately they are driving me insane. I want to make new close friends, but I really don't know how. Any advice?
Hmm.
I know a lot of people that also have this problem, because it's hard to make friends as an adult.
In a new city or town, especially in a rural town.
Yeah, but, like, I have a friend that just moved back to the city where, like, all of her friends are, but she just feels like she's really different from everyone she grew up with, and, like, she just wants new friends, and it's kind of hard as an adult to make new friends.
Definitely. Well, I have a few thoughts. I've never used Bumble BFF in a city, but I think that a lot of people do, and I think that's totally, like, a decent way to meet other, you know, girls or guys you just want to befriend. I think... As in the upstate New York angle, someone who comes from that area, I would say that there's a lot of development going on in upstate New York and in rural communities in general. You know, the cities are just really expensive. And I think that you'll find in smaller communities, it's actually easier to meet people because everyone's usually more welcoming. Even if you're in like the general store or like the neighborhood bar, like you can make eye contact with someone and say hello and, you know, find local pamphlets. Like, there's so many, I think it's way easier, to be honest.
I also think, like, if you take, I've taken a few adult education courses, like, not many, but a few, whether it's, like, an actual class at a college, or like I took a ceramics class last year. And I feel like classes are good ways to meet people, because then that way you at least have similar interests and you have something to talk about, because I don't really know what people talk about.
Yeah. I also think, especially because you're moving with your boyfriend, it's going to be easier to meet other couples, because a lot of couples move to upstate New York. It's not really a single place. So you're actually in a pretty good position.
And then once you have a baby, then it's so easy to make friends, because you just go to the mommy and me classes.
Like moms just sit and complain and talk.
Right. But the more I hear about like pregnancy and childbirth, like they have real shit to complain about.
No, they totally do. I was just thinking in my head when I was saying that incomplete kind of observation of like this girl that I know is like friends with a bunch of mom influencers, and like they sit in like Washington Square Park and just commiserate. And there's just something slightly nauseating, but maybe like I'm slightly jealous at the same time. So,
and like I don't have that many friends in LA, and I'm always looking to like make friends, but I'm not like desperate. Like I'd rather be alone than be with someone like annoying. But I'm recently just trying to put myself out there more and like do a few things that like I don't normally wouldn't love to do, whether it be go out past 10 o'clock or something, just because like that's when the regular people hang out. And so I'm trying to like be social once a week now. And even in the past few weeks, I've made like a few friends who I've like were kind of like right under my nose socially, so to speak. And I, like, never even met them. And it's, like, I really personally, and I think it could be useful for other people, is, like, just really put myself out there more, like, be uncomfortable a little bit more. Because it, like, you might have a shitty night and it might lead to making no friends, or you could make, like, three new friends.
Yeah. I also think, like, I personally don't mind doing certain things alone, and one of those things is going to see stand-up comedy. So I think they're, you know, going to a concert alone is sometimes not the most fun. But in comedy, you're just sitting there like listening to someone else speak the whole time. So you really don't have to be next to anybody or whatever it is that you're interested in. Like, try it out alone.
Right. I do think the Bumble BFF thing is a good call. I kind of always forget about that.
I feel like people use it a lot in like L.A. and New York, because it is hard to make. I mean, it's hard to make friends in cities. I think the girl who wrote in is going to have an easier time.
Like, one of my new friends out here, I only met her because I'm friends with her fiancé, and they just moved back to LA, and he reached out to me, and he's like, would you get lunch with my fiancé? And I was like, sure, like, kind of thinking of it as a favor, but I ended up really getting along with her, and now I really like her, and she's just, like, kind of new to LA and didn't have that many friends, and it's a perfect example of, like, the kind of person who might be on Bumble BFF.
Cool. Okay, our fourth and last question. Hi, guys. Since you've both been really open about your struggles with depression and anxiety, I figured you'd be the right people to ask. I've had cyclical anxiety and depression since puberty. I'm now 26. There have been years when I'm normal and fine, and then ones where I'm basically non-functioning. And it's been really hard in my relationships, both with friends and romantically. What do you do when your anxiety and depression start sabotaging your relationships? It's a good question.
Well, I know about that. Personally, as someone who also deals with all of this, I was actually just talking to my therapist the other day about it. One of the most frustrating things about depression is that, especially when it's like cyclical and kind of just part of you and comes and goes, is like it's always a thing, right? Like you never just like find the solution and then you're done. And that's kind of one of the most frustrating things about it. You have to like kind of acknowledge that and just be okay with that, because there's really no other thing, nothing else you can do about it. In terms of your relationship, you have to just be really honest with the person. You have to establish like great communication so they know what you need. Like one of the biggest things in my relationship was like my boyfriend just didn't know what to do half the time when I was like having my depressive spiral. And I think part of the reason why I ended the relationship was because like I didn't even know what I needed him to do. So it's like you really have to be in touch with what you need in order for them to be able to help you and be there for you.
Right. But I think, I don't know, I have some friends who have dealt with it and are in serious relationships. And I think there's a certain amount of guilt that comes along with that, you know, because you're in a way that person wants to have fun with you and they can't have fun with you because you're not feeling fun. But again, if they love you, they will accept that. But I understand that that might be an emotion that ties into that.
And just acknowledging, like, no one's perfect. Everyone has their shit. And, like, your shit might be that you get depressed sometimes. But, like, their shit might be that they party too much. And that's, like, the exact opposite problem. And it's the type of problem that seems like it's, like, fun and not, like, a real issue. But I have friends in relationships where that's a major issue. Like, everyone's got their thing. No one's perfect. And just kind of acknowledging that. Because if this is your issue, I'm sure your significant other has another issue as well, whether it's mental health related or not. You know, maybe it's that he lives with his mother and he can't part with her. Like, whatever it is, everyone's got something. And so it's just finding a way to, like, be there for each other and figure out what each other needs. And listen, like, I'm not saying you should break up with your boyfriend, but I'm just saying, like, if you guys can't be there for each other in that kind of way and, like, love each other for what all your problems are, like, then maybe he's not the right person for you. Like, you have to be with someone who doesn't make you feel guilty for dealing with this stuff.
I also think beyond romantic relationships and just with, like, your close girlfriends or guy friends, personally, like, when I'm in a depressive place, a sad down place, I've always gravitated towards my friends who have also have shitty feelings about themselves, whether it's depression, anxiety. I think it's easier, you know, if you have those friends who you can relate to, the friends who are a little bit happier, they'll understand, like, they want you to be happy too. And if they love you, they'll always kind of come around for you, I think.
And something that I'm trying to remember to do, even though I keep forgetting, just writing a little bit when you're feeling depressed, kind of like journaling in a way, actually is really, really useful. Like, that's kind of how I even discovered that I wanted to become a writer, was that when I was really, really depressed in high school, just kind of writing about how I was feeling was the only thing that really helped and helped me kind of get out of it in the moment. And I kind of recommend that to anyone who's struggling.
Yeah. We hope that helps, because it sucks. We've been there.
But also just know that, like, so many people deal with this. Like, you are not alone, and a lot of people are kind of going through what you're going through, and you're not, like, a freak's not the right word, but...
I also will say, I think that I'm 29 now, and as you get older, it's easier to accept that this is just something that you're going to be dealing with for the rest of your life. But in your early mid-20s, it's sometimes like, why, you know, it's unfair. Like, why do I have to feel this shitty? But eventually, when you learn how to control it as much as you can, it just becomes like this part of you, like your shadow, and you have to, like, learn to love it too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you also have to know, like, okay, when I'm feeling this way, like, I have to be alone. I have to go do yoga. I have to meditate. I have to watch a sad movie. Like, you have to know what you need and what makes you feel better. And it'll be just get a little easier to manage it.
All right. Well, that concludes our advice segment. That was fun. I feel like we're like the next modern day Oprah, but teens.
We're the modern day Oprah. We're the modern day, what's her name? The girl who went crazy? Amanda. Ask Amanda.
Yeah, the Amanda Show. Amanda. That's right. Us. That's
we don't
me.
Feel full. Amanda Bynes.
No.
Leader.
I don't think I have those genes.
I feel like I definitely do. Okay. So next, we're both going to talk about, like, one thing that we, like, saw or read or something that, like, we kind of think everyone else should look into.
You can go first.
Okay, so my thing was, last night I watched The Righteous Gemstones. It's, like, just the first episode came out. It's on HBO. It is about a family of, like, a televangelist family. Hold on, I need to figure out how to...
Wait, televangelist? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, so it's these people that... Wait, I'm just going to read you the full description. It is the funniest show. Okay. It is Danny McBride, John Goodman, Adam Devine. This comedy series tells the story of a world-famous televangelist family with a long tradition of deviance, greed, and charitable work. It's basically these families that make, like, hundreds of millions of dollars with their, like, church services.
Oh, I love that.
John Oliver once did a segment about these people. Because the thing is, like, it's a quote-unquote church, so they don't pay taxes. And they reach, like, millions of people. They have these huge churches, and they have, like, TV segments where people, like, donate money to the church, but it's really just their family, and they have, like, private jets, and you know, like they're really nothing like they claim to be. And the show is so great.
Oh, yeah, I'm obsessed with that in general, so I'm really excited because I forget. Now I'm trying to think of this guy that I listened to. He's exactly that. And I was driving from the city to upstate, and I was he was basically just, like, preaching to the entire choir community, whatever you call it. It was just about Jesus and, like, life. And, like, meanwhile, he lives in a mansion. And, you know, his day-to-day lifestyle is pretty lavish for somebody who's so... you know, indoctrinated and living this godly life. So that sounds awesome.
Yeah, because they're like full hypocrites. They have like their own private jets and mansions and, you know.
But this is scripted, it's so right? Funny. It's not reality.
Oh, it's scripted. Yeah. No. It's the same guy who did Eastbound and Down and Vice Principals on HBO. John Goodman from like Big Lebowski, Roseanne, him. He's the head of the church.
Oh, I'm going to watch that tonight. I've been eating a new funny show.
It is so great. I cannot recommend it more. Also, I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Did you see it?
No, I want to. What'd you think?
I loved it so much. And I was kind of late to seeing it because I was away. I loved it so much. I want to see it again. It like re-inspired me in a very, very big way.
I definitely want to see that. I just like can't go to the movies right now.
Right.
Well, I could if I took a cab. Maybe that's something I should do.
And... they have those, like, handicap seats.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I've noticed. Like, one of the things about being crippled now for this, like, temporary time in my life is that people are... You notice, like, how much nicer people are. Like, opening the door, asking me if I need anything. Like, it like, reaffirms my faith in humanity a little bit, even though it's been tough to, like, live it. Being on crutches, like, on the street in New York City is... everyone looks at you. So it's like, but you're just hopping around.
Right.
It's a weird feeling,
though.
If
this was an episode of my show, you love the attention you're getting so much from it that you, like, keep faking the injury just to, like, keep getting, like, people to, like, do shit for you.
I know. I mean, it's been kind of nice when people do things for me. That is the best part. But
I know. You probably love it. You're like, yeah, I'll have another tea. Thanks. It's like, oh, I'll get an iced coffee. Where are you going? Oh, the place down the block. Can you actually go to the one 3 blocks away? It's like really good. I love that place.
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't know what I've been watching really, so I'm not even gonna say much, but I'll tell you, last night I was in a really bad mood because I haven't like sweat in a really long time because I haven't been able to work out. So Portlandia always makes me laugh. And then I was just, I don't know if anyone's ever Googled Fred Armisen's, just his impressions. Have you, Hannah?
Mm-mm.
He does the best impressions. It blows my mind. Like, I think he's one of the most talented, like.
I've never watched Portlandia.
Oh my God.
I feel like I wouldn't like it though.
You know, I don't know if you would or not. I think it's actually like a hilarious satire, but. I think you should give it a chance, especially like the last season. But his impressions in general, he basically goes through, if you Google like Fred Armisen impressions, says that he's studied every single like dialect in the southern states in America. So like he knows the slight nuanced differences between like someone in Tennessee and Louisiana. And the way he describes it, you guys need to Google it, and if you'll like laugh your ass off. It's incredibly funny.
All right, great. Well, we will see you all next week.
Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.